This is KTOO Public Media's Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, and right now my next guest – I'm very excited about this. I'm just going to say it right now because Melanie Brown, who is you're fourth generation and Alaskan, right?
Fourth generation commercial fisher.
Commercial fisherman. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. But your family heritage kind of has moved around, but you identify with a lot of the Yupik culture, but also
the Unangan culture. Because there was so much migration associated around the salmon of Bristol Bay. You know, a lot of movement, and Bristol Bay, of course, is a focal point for salmon. So my people migrated from further out on the chain, what's known as the Aleutian chain.
And we're now talking about, by the way, Foodie Friday. So this is exciting because we're going to talk about an amazing recipe. And while fishing is a big part of your life, today we're going to talk about moose bone soup, which I am really jazzed about trying because you actually brought a little delicious looking pot of it in. So tell me about some of the history of this, where this recipe generates from, and how you go about making it.
Well, I learned how to make this this recipe from my mother. Whenever she makes it, our whole family, we all get so excited to sit around the table together and enjoy her soup. And in fact, when I visited Anchorage for Christmas, that's what we had instead of turkey or a Christmas roast. We had a pot of moose bone soup.
That sounds amazing. So it's a kind of an event in a way.
When it is.
And is there a real effort in kind of, you know, dealing with – I mean, I can imagine dealing with moose bones. Number one, that's got to be a real physical effort to get through – processing them in a way, right?
Yeah.
They're big, hefty bones that you got to cut up and all that stuff. Right?
I'm pretty lucky. I always, by the time I get the meat and bones from my brother-in-law or my dad, it's already processed.
Oh, okay.
So I don't have to worry about sawing through the bones.
Right.
I just need to worry about cooking it.
So what's the ideal size for these moose? But they kind of just are sectioned out, almost like you'd see, like, you know, a dog bone or something like that. That sort of size, right?
Yeah, I'd say that, you know, if you were to do it yourself after a hunt, cutting the leg shaft segments into maybe 3 or 4 inch segments, and then some of the segments, of course, are going to have joints on the end, which to me that's like kind of the prize. Because of all the cartilage that softens up once you've cooked the soup all day. And then you can leave a little bit of meat on the joints too, and then that meat gets really the meat cooked next to the bone ends up being more flavorful.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if you have, you know, when you're sectioning the leg bones out, and if there is a lot of meat still stuck to the bone, you can choose to either leave that on there and treat it more like a bone-in roast, or you can just kind of cut the meat off and cube it, and then that would serve as the meat in your soup.
Okay. Now, there's pictures of this soup online at ktoo.org, and if you just click on the Juno Afternoon link, you'll can see that the moose bone soup is on there. So describe for folks who haven't seen a picture of it, describe kind of this consistency. How does the soup look, and what are you kind of looking for in general in the soup?
Well, in general, I think that the main thing is, like, you need to be thinking in terms of, like, giving it time. When you're dealing with any kind of game meat, because of the conditioning that the muscle has, it has a tendency to end up being tougher if you cook it too fast.
These are strong animals.
Yes.
Right?
You know,
right?
Yes.
So, yeah. They're,
so,
yeah.
So it's important to give it time. And what I end up doing is I cook my soup about I try to give it about 6 hours. So I'll use my lunch hour mm-hmm. to get it all started and assembled. The nice thing about this recipe is that all the work is up front, and then after that it just takes time.
Does it just kind of simmer? Is that what it's doing?
Yeah. Well, so you start it on the stovetop, and then once everything is prepared and assembled, then you it's much easier to tend to if it's in a closed soup pot in the oven, because that way you don't have to worry about a stovetop burner scalding the bottom of your pot, you know, and like maybe singeing some of the ingredients and sticking them to the bottom of your pot. If it's in an oven, the pot is surrounded by heat and it's much more even for the cooking of the soup. But one important thing to remember is that you want to make sure that, you know, once you've assembled everything in the soup pot, after you've prepared it, prepared all the ingredients, you want to make sure that you bring all of what is in the soup pot to a simmer where you're seeing, you know, like bubbles coming to the surface. Mm-hmm. Because then you know that the whole, the contents of the soup pot are up to heat. And then you can put the lid on and put it in the oven. And you're not going to end up with like an environment in your soup pot that isn't matching the heat of the oven. Because if you're using a really heavy pot, it's going to take a while for that heat to really penetrate the pot. And so there will be like a heat lag.
Well, let's go through the steps.
Okay.
All right. So you've got your brother's provided you, your uncle has provided you, your dad, or you've gone out and you've gotten a moose and you've got them all cut up in these kind of 3 to 4 inch segments of a moose leg.
Uh huh.
And so let's step through it. What other ingredients do you need? And then how do you go about preparing it?
Okay. So, actually, I'm going to start with like what you want to the tools that you would need for your stovetop. You're going to want a saute pan, and you're going to want the pot that you're going to cook your soup in.
Because that pot's going to end up going in the oven.
Yes.
Okay, so an oven-safe pot as well as a saute pan.
Yes.
Okay.
So the nice thing about starting with your soup pot is that you don't have to worry about transferring your meat and bones and worrying about losing any of the flavor that's associated with that, because some of the flavor will kind of stick to the bottom of the pan. When you want to brown the bones. So start by browning your bones, and you know, with these leg segments, you want to put the marrow side against the pan and have it at about just a little past medium heat. And so you're kind of searing the marrow, if you have a marrow side that's touching the pan. And it'll kind of help keep the marrow in the – at least I believe that this is what happens. If you're searing the end of that bone against the pan, it's going to hold the marrow in no matter how long you cook it, because that you always run the risk of the marrow sliding out of the bone, and then you kind of just lose it to the soup. Mm-hmm. And then you don't get to enjoy that marrow in the end. So you sear the end of the bone, use kitchen tongs to flip it and sear the other side. And while you're doing this, you're seasoning with some sea salt, just lightly seasoning with sea salt and black pepper. That's what I like to use.
Mm-hmm.
Just really basic flavors, because you don't want to use anything that's going to overpower the goodness of the meat itself and the bones themselves.
So your goal in this is to really accentuate the taste of moose.
Yes.
that's in there. Plus that, as you were saying, that marrow, which is a really delicate kind of flavor in some ways,
I wouldn't
right?
call it delicate.
No?
It's like super rich.
I guess that's really rich. But I would say that you could add spices or things that would overpower the taste of
Or detract.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, the marrow, that's definitely one of the prizes,
okay.
too.
Yeah, all right.
But so once your bones are browned, you know, and if there is any meat still on the bone, you want to kind of brown that, too. And then you add cubes of meat that you've either, you know, cut off of the bone itself or maybe taken from another part of the animal, like backstrap or a nice rump roast, you know, and depending on how big your soup pot is, how many people you want to serve,
right.
you know, you just kind of adjust accordingly. And then in your saute pan, you get your onions going. And then you want to use really hearty vegetables that are going to hold up and not break apart, but add a good sort of good flavor base to the soup. I like to use carrots, you know, cut into kind of coins.
Mm-hmm.
And then celery is another good flavor, flavorful vegetable that it holds up really well.
Do you use garlic? Do you use those kinds of things as well?
If you like garlic, there's
yeah.
no reason why you can't add garlic, mm-hmm. you know, fresh garlic. And then broccoli stem is another good hearty a vegetable that holds up well. I wouldn't recommend using the broccoli flour because it breaks apart so much.
Okay.
And then cabbage, shredded cabbage is another really good sort of
and that really makes a soup hearty in a, mm-hmm. In a way that's really kind of key, I think, to soups, really nice hearty soups with cabbage. Yeah, I agree.
It creates that flavor base that you want. You can't just throw everything in a pot and just put it in the oven.
Right.
You want to start building the flavor early.
And then what sort of herbs and spices are you typically using?
You know, I really do just stick with the simplicity of salt and pepper.
Oh, okay.
I like fresh ground pepper because it has more pop to it. Mm-hmm. And I really think that applying the fresh ground black pepper to the meat is another – it's kind of a tenderizer.
Yeah.
Too, you know, before you add all the other things on top of the meat and bones.
Well, the full recipe is online at that spot where I was just saying, kto.org. And if you go to Juno Afternoon, you'll see a little profile there of Melanie, as well as our other guests that have been on today. And the recipe is a link right at the top to Moose Bone Soup. Without further ado, I want to taste a little of this. It's just sitting here in this pot in front of me, and I'm really getting excited. So let's have a little. Yeah.
It's started getting a little bit cold, so it may have separated. That's one thing that I should sort of warn the listeners about.
Oh, it's hearty, really hearty.
Yeah,
right.
Is that, you know, you're pulling all the – there's a lot in bones, and that's why I like to cook with them is it adds so much flavor. You know, there's the gelatin that cooks out of the bones. There's, the cartilage starts to get really soft and break down. It's kind of sticky. You should be forewarned about the cartilage being a little bit sticky.
Okay.
So just be prepared to, like, if you pick up the bone and you're gnawing on it, you're going to get sticky.
Well, we just have a little bit of time left. We've talked about this, and I want to just have some.
Yeah.
I'm going to dig in and have a little bit of this. Let me just get the paper towel out so we don't get it on the board here. But I'm going to have just a little bit. So there's a little carrot in here, too. And some delicious looking, I get some meat in there too. Yeah, that's great. Oh, that's really good. Wow, and that's really, it's so special to have mousse. You know, isn't it? It's just, that's terrific.
Well, there's so much flavor complexity because, you know, they eat so many different things from the land. You know, they're not getting feedlot food.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Melanie, sorry, we're completely out of town, but Melanie Brown with Moose Bone Soup, thanks so much. And that's it for Juno Afternoon today. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for having me.
This is KTOO Juno.